Amen. All right, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 9. And I've struggled all afternoon. I'm actually filling in for Brother Jack. I hope you continue to pray for the family. And he came by and asked me to fill in for him tonight, so I'm going to do that. And I couldn't decide what to preach on, really. I've had a couple of messages on my mind, and I've gone back and forth all afternoon, so I just went any, many, mighty, moe, and I'm going to preach one and trust the Lord to use it. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the good spirit and the good encouragement we've already experienced. I pray now the Holy Spirit will be our guide, our teacher, our instructor. I pray you'll lift up Jesus Christ and exalt him. Glorify him tonight. Lord, I pray you'll give me the words to exalt him. God, I pray you'll recall to my remembrance the scriptures, God, that you'll just use me in a way that's pleasing and glorifying to you. Lord, should there be one here lost, I ask you to convict them, show them their need of Jesus Christ this day before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray that you'll just meet the need of every heart, whatever it might be. Lord, comfort the families of those that are afflicted. Strengthen the Cook family. God, help them. I pray you'll be ever near. I pray you'll touch Donald, and Lord, you'll heal him. Lord, I just pray now tonight you'll meet with us. Have your way, and whatever you do, we'll praise you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter 9, and let's look in verse 20. And he says, "Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." And so I'm preaching tonight on the subject, touching the hem of his garment. And I'm going to shift back and forth here between the Gospels. You'll see some elements in one Gospel you don't in the other. So hopefully the Lord will use this to speak to your heart and be an encouragement to you. But I want you to notice, first of all, this woman, like most of us, was diseased. And when I say most of us, we were all born dead in trespasses and sin. We were born into this world sinners, diseased by sin. That wasn't a choice. We were shaping in iniquity and in sin. Our mothers conceived us. But we were like this woman. We were diseased. And you get in the book of Leviticus, and there are a lot of diseases there. But one in particular, leprosy, is a type of sin. And leprosy, if you study this thing a little, you'll discover that it's a picture of a sinner, someone who's defiled by sin, just like all human beings are. And I find myself in that category. Even as a saved man, I still have a problem with the flesh from day to day. And it's a struggle. Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And so we struggle with that from day to day. But I'm thank God we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he conquered sin. I'm glad he conquered death. I'm glad he conquered hell. I'm glad he got up. I'm glad, thank God, tonight we got something to run about. We got something to shout about. I don't have to worry about going to the Super Bowl to get excited. Hey, this is the Super Bowl right here. Jesus Christ is worth shouting about. He's worth bragging about tonight. He's worth running the aisles for. Hey, I used to do it for the devil. I ought at least do as much for the Lord as I did for the devil. Why, some of you guys sitting here tonight, you'd sit up all night drinking beer and shooting pool, playing cards and chasing women. God, at least do as much for God as you did for the devil. Y'all sit up all night reading your Bible and praying. Y'all spend the night going to Nashville, stay all night witnessing, preaching on the street, passing out gospel tracts. Hey, y'all do something for him once in a while. That'll put that old flesh down and lift him up. Amen. Pardon me if I get excited. He's worth bragging about tonight. He's worth getting excited about. Amen. But I was looking at this thing by leprosy. And this is something that can only be healed by God. I mean, sin, the problem, can only be healed by God. I don't care how good religion is, it cannot save you. The best religion in this world is good works, trying to justify yourself by your religion before God, and it won't work. It won't save you. I mean, you can get baptized around here till every tadpole in the creek knows your name and die and go to a devil's hell. Hey, it happens. You got a bunch down here singing Amazing Water, How Sweet the Splash. That soaked a wretch like me. I once was dry, but now I'm wet as a water dog can be. Amen. They're trusting the city water system to get them to heaven. It won't work. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, also to the Gentile. That's why we stand on a street corner and preach the word of God. That's why we put scripture verses on our automobiles. That's why we have them in the front yard. That's why, hey, some people got them on their coats and on their clothes. Hey, the word of God is what the Holy Spirit will use to convince men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Amen. I'm glad he does. I'm glad he dealt with me 38 years ago. I was lost on the road to a devil's hell. I was as big as drunk as they are in this county. I tell those folks in Gatlinburg, I used to get drunk over there and pass out and lay out on the sidewalk, puke in the gutters. Hey, after a while, they don't even bother to come by and pick you up anymore. They get tired of fooling with you. Now I'm saved and cleaned up. I'm out there preaching on the same street, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and suddenly I'm a troublemaker. I ought to be put in jail for disturbing the peace. Well, amen. We ought to disturb the peace. We ought to trouble this world. We ought to stir them up. We ought to shake them up. Hey, they need to get excited about something besides a pay raise, or who's going to win the SEC title, or who's going to win the basketball game. They ought to get excited about where they're going to spend eternity. Amen. This lady was diseased. You pardon me, I'm harmless. I mean, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Some of y'all looking like you're scared. I'm not going to get a hold of you. I'm not Nehemiah. Nehemiah, I'd like to have a pastor like that. He'd just come down out of the pulpit and grab you and snatch the hair out of your beard and slap you. I've not yet done that, but I have been tempted. But this lady was diseased, and like leprosy, it could only be healed by God. And if it wasn't checked, it would spread. Yeah. Wasn't that the way it works? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Yeah. You young folks sitting here tonight, you hang out with the wrong crowd, they'll rub off on you. Whether you wind up saying things you wouldn't have said, doing things you wouldn't have done, you better pick the right kind of friends. You better pray about it. You better walk with somebody that loves God, wants to serve Him, wants to read their Bible, wants to go to church. Hey, if you don't believe it, ask some of these guys that come out of that mess. I'm telling you tonight, you want to hang out with a bunch that wants to do something for Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, you'll be just as sorry as the rest of that bunch. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. She was diseased. Now, I still love you. I'm not mad at you. But truth's still the truth. And this lady was diseased. And you'll notice all the human efforts had failed. I mean, she had spent all that she had, all of her living, and was no better. And the Bible says only grew worse. Wasn't that something? That's religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion is pure works. It's what you're trying to do to justify yourself before God. It's like a fellow told Brother Brake there here how long ago it was, said, my daddy said I was saved, so I guess I'm saved. Boy, isn't that scary? I don't know. My daddy told me a lot of things, but he never told me I was saved. But I'll tell you this. I know I'm saved, and it ain't because my daddy told me that, except my heavenly Father told me that. That's the one that you better know. Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the only way, the only hope. And if you're trusting anything other than Him, you ain't going to make it. And that's the bottom line, and that's all there is to it, because King James says so. But you think about it. All human efforts had failed. Her problem only grew worse. She could not do a thing in herself to get relief. Now, I've known people that's all their life. They're sick all their life. They spend everything they can scrape up. This lady had spent a retirement in 12 years trying to get better and only grew worse. They couldn't do a thing in the world to help her problem. It just got worse. Jesus Christ is the answer. That's all there is to it. He's the answer to the sin problem tonight. He's the one that's cleansed these old drunks. He's the one that's cleansed these old dope heads. Hey, you look around this building tonight. There's some folks here that were raised in good homes, raised in Christian homes, got saved at an early age. Thank God you did. You missed all that mess. Glory to God. You didn't miss a thing, I'll tell you. You better be glad you was raised that way. Some of us weren't. I didn't have that privilege. I was raised by a drunkard, and that's just my lifestyle. And I got saved after I got out of the army, and I mean, I tried everything the world had to offer. That's why I've got some idea about what's going on out here in the world. I know better than to mess around with that stuff. I know what it'll do for you. I know how your old drinking buddies are. But this thing will clean you up. It don't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. Some folks have a college education in here tonight. Some didn't graduate high school. That's got absolutely nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ did not come to help us get saved. He came to save us. Yeah. This Bible says He came into this world to save sinners. Amen. Amen. And He didn't qualify that. If you're a sinner tonight, you're a candidate for God's salvation. Amen. I don't care if you got a third grade education. I don't care if you're like Nathan Bemis and you spell out A-U-T and Bible B-I-B-U-L. Amen. God can save any sinner tonight. I'm glad He can. I'm glad 38 years ago I found out the cure for sin is Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you, my wife could testify to it. 38 years ago, I'd been out all night. I came home, and I should have been drunk, and I was sober. And I had a load of sin on my back that would kill a pack mule. And I was as miserable as a poisoned dog. And I had no idea where to get any real help. I mean, honestly, I didn't. I mean, I went to church sometimes as a kid. I mean, Bible school and those sort of things. But I really didn't know anything about the gospel. I just knew that I was lost and going to a devil's hell. Blessed is the man or woman that knows that. And I knew if God didn't help me, there wasn't no help for me. I'd tried everything. Hey, I was a member of two different churches. I'd been baptized into two different congregations. I had religion. I mean, on my dog tags when I went in the army, they stamped Baptist. I didn't know a Baptist from a Methodist or anything else. But I had religion, according to them. But I was miserably lost. And I was miserable. And I tried everything the world had, and I only grew worse. Every time I took a fix, I got worse. I'd clean up a little bit. I'd turn over a new leaf. I'd make a New Year's resolution. I'd get a little better for a while, and then I'd get worse. Brother, I remember that morning. I told my wife, I said, I'm lost and going to hell, and I don't want to go. So we went down to a Baptist church. That's a good place to go. And the preacher preached, and I couldn't tell you what he preached on. I just know I sat there in the back, and every time he pointed at me. And I knew I was the only person in there that day. And I couldn't wait for him to shut up. I thought, well, he never shut up. And finally, he quit preaching and gave an invitation. Said, anybody in here want to get saved? I got down the aisle. I didn't look around to refer the message. I thought, brother, if that's what I want. I don't know how to get in on this thing, but I want to get in on it. And I got down the aisle. And he gave me some instructions from the scriptures. Simply told me what I need to do to pray and how to do it to get saved. And I prayed and asked God to forgive my sins. And I called on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him and Him alone to save me. Boy, I'll tell you, I got a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ. I ain't ever got over it. I'm telling you, I've been on shouting around ever since. I get rabbit in my feet every now and then. I get out here preaching in the street. Hey, that's where I belong. I get over here in the jail preaching. That's my crowd. Hey, I like that kind of stuff. And I get excited about Jesus Christ because years ago when I walked those same streets, nobody gave me a gospel tract. Nobody told me about Jesus Christ. When I was sitting in a jail cell, no preacher came by. Nobody told me about Jesus Christ. And I thought, bless God, somebody needs to take the gospel to those people. Hey, I've been doing it for the last 35 years. That's all I can say about it. God put a burden on my heart. I made my mind up. I can't help my daddy, but there's somebody's daddy out there I can help. I'm going to take the gospel to them. I want to see people get saved. I want to see lives change. I've seen old dope heads get cleaned up and turn into a real
cornerstone citizen of the community. I've seen women of the night get their life cleaned up and become pure and white. Hey, I was preaching in a place one night. There was two young ladies came to the aisle and knelt down there, and there was folks shouting all over the building. I had no idea what was going on. I'm talking about in Scott County, incidentally. And those two young ladies were 15 and 16 years old. Their own mother was selling them out the back door as prostitutes. Right here in Scott County. And those two girls came to the aisle and got saved. And I'm telling you, they were painted up like a possum hunter in Pokeberry season. They looked like women of the night. You better believe it. Man, they looked horrible. And those two girls prayed and got saved. They came back the next Sunday. I was preaching again. Those two girls were cleaned up, dressed up, looked like two angels. I'm telling you, you talk about a blessing. Within 3 months, their mom came and got saved. Hey, the last time I saw them, they were all up singing Amazing Grace. You pardon me, but that's real stuff. That's something to get excited about. That's where the rubber meets the road, amen. Bro, this world ain't got nothing compared to it. I wouldn't trade that for $1 million right now. No, sir. You offer me 10 gold bars, I wouldn't take it. There's nothing that can take the place of that. Brother God, I've had experiences with the Lord. I'm telling you, for the last 38 years, it just gets closer and nearer and better. Hey, I'll be home one day after a while. I'm going to see all this stuff I've just talked about and preached about. Hey, I'll see it firsthand. Don't grieve for me. Brother, when this old body hits the floor, I'll be kicking up gold dust. I'll be catching a running fit in New Jerusalem. Amen. Thank God. The best is yet to come for God's people. You pardon me if I just get a little excited. But I've got something to get excited about. This woman tried everything. All human efforts failed. She spent everything she had on physicians of no value. Boy, ain't that the way it works? I hate to go to the doctor. My wife gets on me. I don't like going to a doctor. I don't care if sick or not. I don't like going. I just don't like them. I seen a bumper sticker one time. It said, the prices they charge, it ain't no wonder doctors wear a mask. Now, I'm not against doctors, incidentally. I mean, Christ said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And if you're sick, you pray about it. And if the Lord don't do something, go to the doctor. I just don't like going. And I can understand this lady had spent everything she had and grew worse. I mean, you talk about a frustrating, discouraging situation. That would be it. I mean, when you've tried all they've said that's supposed to do something to clear up this mess, and it's only getting worse. Well, that'd be discouraging. So her future, as far as she was concerned, was to perish. She only grew worse. All she could look forward to was dying. I mean, you think about it. I mean, I know it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I know that'll happen to all of us eventually if the Lord don't come. Personally, I'm hoping to hear a trumpet sound and hear a voice and my name called and just check out. I'd like to leave the undertaker with no business. Now, if that don't happen, I'm not concerned about it. If it catches me, man, I'm going to be having me a time. I'll let my bill collectors worry about it. They'll be the ones shouting down here. But this lady was in a mess, and I mean, she needed some real help. Somebody has said only 1/8 of an iceberg is visible above the waterline. And he said, when you're tempted to judge sin from its superficial appearance and judge it too leniently, remember that sin, like that iceberg, the greater part is out of sight. Well, that's the way of leprosy. It's deeper than the skin. And this thing of sin that we're born with, it's deeper than the stain has gone. Boy, I mean, the blood will cleanse all the way down. And that's the only thing that'll do the job. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Muhammad couldn't save a dead flea. I mean, where he's at, what's he going to do for anybody? He's dead and gone. Old Buddha, he's dead and gone. I mean, every pope that ever lived, he died and they buried him and he stayed dead. And they can declare him a saint if they want to, but he's still dead. But the one I serve is living. He's alive. He got up from the dead, and thank God he's alive forevermore. Amen. This Bible declares our God, he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. We have a living Savior tonight, a living hope. Now, I realize a lot of times the way we act, you'd think God is dead. I mean, Martin Luther one time in a fit of discouragement, he was all down and out and ready to give up, and his wife dressed up like a widow and put on black and a veil and came in the room and was walking around saying, "Oh, God is dead. God is dead." And he said, "Wow, foolish woman, what's wrong with you? God's not dead." And she said, "Well, you need to straighten up and act like it." Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank God for a woman with a little wisdom. But this lady needed some serious, serious help. And she knew where to get it. Now, I'm declaring to you tonight, if you need some real help, I can tell you where to get it. And I'm not an apostle. I can't lay hands on you and heal you. If you want the Acts of the Apostles, you can read about them in a book called The Acts of the Apostles. There are no apostles around today. Apostolic succession is a figment of somebody's imagination. But in order to qualify to be an apostle, if you go to Acts chapter 1, you'd have to be about 2,000 years old. And I'm pretty sure that ain't happened. But I have offered challenges to these fellows that profess to be to meet me at the city park over here in Oneida at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon and walk on water. And when they can walk on water, then we'll talk about it. And I have not yet had any takers. But I guess all that glitters is not gold, huh? Well, this lady heard about Jesus. And really, that's what people need to hear about. I mean, we hear about the great men of God, and I'm not against illustrations and using them as examples and all of that, but people need to hear about the great God. I mean, they really do. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the only way and the only hope. And this lady heard about Jesus Christ, and she knew that if she could get to Jesus, she could get the help she needed. The Bible says when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, I'm in Mark chapter 5 right now, and this lady, having a hearing about Jesus Christ, she was certain she could get the help she needed. Now, I'm telling you here tonight, if you're lost, I can tell you where you can get some real help. Jesus Christ is still in the life-changing business. He's still in the saving business. He came to save sinners. If you're lost, I promise you, if you'll put your faith in him, he's willing to save you this very night. If you're not saved, you can leave here saved and just happy as a dead pig in the sun, man. I mean, enjoying your new salvation. I'm telling you, it works. I'm telling you, it works. Take it from somebody that tried both sides of it. It works. It really does work. And I know there's some fakers and some professors, and I don't even worry about any of that. That's irrelevant. You want to look around here tonight, you're going to see a whole bunch of folks that's been plugged in for a long time. This thing works. But this woman heard about Jesus Christ. She heard of his works. You think about it. Jesus Christ was going about cleansing lepers, opening the eyes of one born blind, which was never heard of. He even raised the dead. You better believe this lady had heard of him. I mean, the Bible says his fame had spread throughout that region. I mean, you better believe that would be something that would get folks excited. I mean, you imagine a guy been dead for 4 days and you call him out of the tomb. Yeah. I mean, that's something noteworthy. And so this lady had heard about his works. She knew of his fame. And she had also heard of his words. I mean, when he got to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, these people said of him, he speaks with authority, not as the scribes. Man, when he preached with power. I mean, he just came back from a 40-day fast, and I mean, defeated the devil with the temptations, preached that Sermon on the Mount. And boy, I'm telling you, he preached it with power. There wasn't no doubt. This wasn't no ordinary man, brother. This was God manifest in the flesh. And this was noteworthy. And this lady had heard of the power of his preaching. Well, that's the way it works, isn't it? I mean, there's power in words. I mean, the communists figured that out with all of their propaganda. They figured out if you get the right kind of slant on things and you get enough people hearing about it and you get enough people agreeing to it, after a while the truth and can go to devil and we'll present a lie and people will accept it. I mean, really, you look at this healthcare thing that happened here. What did the Senate vote on? They voted on a penalty. What did the Supreme Court rule on? They said it's unconstitutional. Well, how do you change it? They changed it to a tax. Nobody voted on anything else. Right. They voted on a penalty, not a tax. That's unconstitutional. But the godless Supreme Court just turned that thing right around, blank, and here you are. And what you do is you just keep feeding the press day and night. That's all you've heard about. That's all you're going to hear about. I personally could care less. I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm going to do, and Barak can do what he's going to do. But the fact of the matter is, I'm still trusting the living God. I think he's still in control, and it'll be all right. We'll just trust him and let the rest of it fly. Amen. But this lady had heard his word. She knew about Jesus Christ, about his preaching, about his power. And she'd heard of his ways. She'd heard of his compassion. When he came to the city of Nain, and a widow woman, her only son, had died, and they were carrying him out, and Jesus walked over and stopped the funeral procession and told that young man to arise, and he got up. Lord, he delivered him to his... Well, you talk about a time.
Yeah,
she heard about those things, and having heard of that, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can get the help I need. Boy, ain't that the way it is? I mean, I'm like the guy sometimes, I have to holler, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. There are a lot of times when I want to believe it. I want God to do something. I'm trusting God to do something. And I don't know, man. Lord, just do something. That lady knew, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can get the help I need. And brother, she made her way through that mob. I mean, it kind of reminded me of that little short fellow in Luke chapter 19. I mean, there were so many people ganged around. And I always thought it odd. The Bible says press. I always think of the news people when I read that. I mean, ain't that the way it is? I mean, he was just surrounded. And here was a fellow in desperate need wanting to meet the Lord. And he just couldn't get there. He was too short. And so he climbed a tree. And that bird got saved up a tree. Well, I tell you, that's something else. Yeah, it don't matter. Lord save you anywhere. It don't matter. I'm glad he's still in the life-changing business. Well, Spurgeon said, Christ is the great central fact of the world's history. All lines of history converge upon him. All the great purposes of God culminate in him. Well, that's it. It all depends on Jesus Christ. Do you know him tonight? I don't mean know about him. Do you know him? There's a lot of folks that know about him. They've heard of him. They've heard about him. I mean, I was talking to a young lady one day. She was 19 years old, young Catholic young lady, been raised in that religion, and she knew about Jesus Christ, and she believed the fundamentals. She believed in the virgin birth and the death and the burial and the resurrection. She believed those things. She'd been taught that. But it never gotten personal with her. She was just lost as she could be. And I just took a Bible and just began to explain to her the gospel and to tear down all that false theology she'd been shoveled to her for a long time. And that young lady, 19 years old, bowed down there on the floor, boy, and drank deep from the well that never runs dry, called on the Lord Jesus Christ, man, met her high priest, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, she'd been happy ever since. Boy, think about that. I mean, she knew about Jesus Christ, believed all the fundamentals, and lost. It's possible to be raised in church and never really come to Jesus Christ. People know about him. They know what they're supposed to say. You get out here knocking on doors. Everybody you meet's saved. You ask, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I asked a couple of fellas that one day. I said, you saved? Oh, yeah, we're saved. Who saved you? Well, we don't know. I thought, well, that's odd. You're saved, but you don't know who saved you. And I mean, people, they've heard the terminology and they, you know, they know how to answer, so you don't press it any further. And what you have to do is you just have to keep fishing around to find out what they're really counting on to get them to heaven. Because it may not be Jesus Christ at all. So this lady, she heard about Jesus Christ. And you'll notice it was her faith that made her whole. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Again, that's why we preach in the street. That's why we preach on the radio. That's why we preach out here in the jail or anywhere else we can preach. Because the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and that's what the Holy Spirit is going to use to convince people. And so we reason with them, just like the Apostle Paul. We reason with them of righteousness and of judgment to come, because it's coming. And boy, I'll tell you, the temperance is involved with it. But old Paul sat down in front of a king, and you'd have thought the king was the man on trial. I mean, he just gave it to him. That's the way it ought to be. I mean, bold as a lion. I mean, we got the truth. Why would we want to back up? So her faith in Christ is what made her whole. When she came and touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says, immediately. Well, that's the way salvation works. It's immediate. It doesn't take 66 steps. And somebody gave me a little book one time. It was entitled Steps to Jesus or something like that by Ellen White, I think. And I read a couple of pages, and I just stood in my wood stove and made good fodder. Oh, well, I didn't need those steps, man. I had a young lady knock on my door one day, and she said, me and my husband are having a terrible time. We're about to divorce. I don't know what to do. I said, well, are you saved? No. It wasn't long till that young lady had knelt down there in my living room and knelt by the steps and called on the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. And man, she went home a different wife. The next day, a knock came on my door, and this young fellow was standing there. And he said, my wife was here yesterday. He said, I thought I'd tried. It changed her. And it wasn't long. He was kneeling down, and he was getting saved. And that home got put back together. Man, still going. I mean, that's the way it worked. Jesus Christ still in the life-changing business. Do you know him tonight? Well, I mean, I realize this is not a big doctrinal message. This is not one of those, you know. It's just something hopefully will help you. He's all it's worth bragging about. I mean, really, I guarantee you, I don't know about in here tonight, but I've talked to young folks, and they can tell you on their favorite team, whether it be baseball, football, basketball, or all of them, and they can tell you all the stats and who's got all the, you know, home runs and RBIs and gold gloves, and they can tell you. I was working with a young fella, and he's a Tennessee fan. I got called him Johnny Majors, and he's all the time telling me all this stuff about Tennessee football. I mean, and he's got all these facts that go back to, I mean, must be 1900, man. I don't know. I never heard of this stuff. But he knows it. And, I mean, he can rattle this stuff off and just go on and on and on. And I'd say, well, man, you have been saved. And then somehow he loses vocabulary. But, you know, isn't that the way it is? Something that we're really interested in and something we love. I mean, we'll really get involved with it. We'll put our time in it. I mean, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be involved. We ought to know something about him. We ought to know something about his book. I mean, really. And you're not too young to get started, man. You guys sitting here ought to be reading your Bible every day. Well, I mean, Jack was Sunday school this morning. Boy, he was laying it out. Absolutely. I mean, I look back and I lost a lot of time not studying that I should have been studying, because I was too busy doing other things. And I'll tell you, it's easy to do. You can't. There's no premium on ignorance. You can't learn too much. And so this lady knew that God was able. She just had that kind of faith. I mean, faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I mean, it's not blind. It's got substance and evidence. And this lady just tried it out. She just took God at his word, and her healing was instantaneous, and that lady was healed immediately. Somebody has said, in the realm of the natural, seeing is believing. In the realm of the supernatural, believing is seeing. Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And a fellow said, I can't understand a spiritual truth until I first believe it. And you know, the Lord's just that way. He says, all right, here, this how it is. You say, well, I don't understand that. Believe it anyhow. Yeah. There's plenty I don't understand. I've read this Bible every day for 38 years, and there's plenty in there I don't understand. You can ask me all kinds of questions I cannot answer, but I still believe it. And if I can't explain it, that just because I'm stupid. I mean, really, I can't blame the Lord for that. But I have learned over the years that as you grow and can handle it, the Lord will reveal it to you. You just keep reading it and keep believing it, and he'll load your wagon, I promise you. And so this lady just got in. And notice, last of all, and I'm about done. I appreciate your kind attention tonight, putting up with me. I know you
expected Brother Jack, but he'll be back. But last of all, the virtue to heal came from a sinless man. Amen. You think about that. He was so holy and sinless that after 3 days in the tomb, his body hadn't corrupted. I'd like to see Jesse Supplanter and Doplin and Benny Rooster and the rest of that bunch try that one. Brother, he was sinless.
Yeah.
And that's the prophecy in Acts chapter 2. His body would not see corruption.
Yeah.
And after 3 days in the tomb, it hadn't corrupted.
Yeah. Right.
He who knew no sin, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was sinless. He was the Lamb of God, able to bear our sin in His own body because He was sinless.
Amen.
What God demanded, only God could supply.
Yeah.
You go to Genesis 22, and Abraham prophesies on Mount Moriah, where Mount Calvary happens to be located. And he said, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, God shall provide Himself a lamb for a sacrifice." And nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ walked up Calvary's mountain and was nailed to an old rugged cross and became the sacrifice, the one true effectual sacrifice for sin. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He paid it all. All to Him we owe. Boy, that's the truth. Amen. This lady, she found out that the power and the strength that healed her came from the power of a sinless man and a sinless life. Amen. Boy, he's the one. Everything depends on Jesus Christ. And then she departed in peace. I don't know about you, but 38 years ago when I got up from that old-fashioned altar, I had a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ on the inside. That's the best way I can explain it. Man, I just felt clean on the inside. Man, I was filthy. I had tried everything in this world. I was so defiled with sin. And boy, I was just clean. And there was a peace in here that ain't ever gotten old. Ain't ever gone away. Don't matter. I mean, honestly, yes, my wife, I'm telling the dying truth tonight. I have slept through two tornadoes. I got up one morning to go to work, and I had to take a chainsaw and saw 7 trees out of my driveway to go to work. That thing came right by my house. I never even woke up. I thought, man, if this thing gets me, I'll be like Elijah. I'll go up by a whirlwind into heaven. We were going through Birmingham one time, and we were taking turns driving. She was driving. I went to sleep, and she drove through a blooming tornado down there. I didn't wake up. I'm glad she was driving. But honestly, man, it's good to be saved. I enjoy life. I really do. I enjoy life. I don't have to do anything illegal, immoral, or fattening to enjoy life. I've got the peace of God. And I got it through Jesus Christ. Do you have it tonight? If you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And I don't know. You'll have to answer that. I can't answer it for you. I can speak for myself. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm just good in heaven with the door shut. And I offer no apology to anybody for believing that. I know it's so according to the Word of God. Do you know that? Now, if you're not sure, you ought to find out. Just in a minute, I'm going to ask you all to stand after I pray. And if you need to come to the altar, then you come. If you need to get saved, we'd be glad to take a Bible and show you how to be saved from the Word of God. I wouldn't leave this thing to chance. We were in a place one night, Don Cook, in fact, me and him were in this church visiting, and this 15-year-old young lady came to the altar wanting to be saved, and she told him, "I don't really understand. I know I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. I want to be saved, but I don't really know what to do. And I'm serious as a heart attack." This young lady was here, and everybody was gathered around praying, which is fine. But on one side was a lady hitting her on the back saying, "Hold on." And on the other side was another lady hitting her on the back saying, "Turn loose."
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
And this girl was just crying and just, "I don't know what to do. What do I do?" And I mean, and it was just confusion.
Yeah.
And so we waded through the crowd,
And we made a lot of friends that night. But we were told later that if it had been a few years earlier, they would have thrown us out of the church. And I'm sure they would have. Because they didn't believe in taking a Bible and explaining anything. And so what we did was we waded through the crowd, and I run interference while he took a Bible and laid it out there and explained it to this young lady, and she prayed and got saved.
Amen.
Now, they didn't appreciate our style, but it got the job done.
Amen.
If I had to do it again, I'd do it again.
Amen.
I'd much rather them not like me as that young lady die and go to hell because somebody wouldn't take a Bible. When I was 9 years old, I walked the aisle in a Baptist church convicted and lost. And the preacher came around and patted me on the back and said, "Do you know what you're doing?" And I knew I was lost and wanted to be saved. And I said, "Yeah." Next thing I know, they was dunking me in the city water system.
Yeah.
Nobody showed me anything. And I made my mind up, buddy. I'll take a Bible. I'll explain it with the Word of God. And they'll either get saved or, you know, they'll lie. But I'm not going to leave it to chance. I'm not going to tell a fellow, stay down there till you feel something. I'm going to take a Bible and show him, and he can pray and get saved according to the Word of God, and then he'll feel something. You better believe it. They get the cart before the horse. I'll tell you what you ought to feel like before you get saved. You ought to feel like the devil. Amen. That's right. Well, man, your sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. You ought to feel like a dirty dog before you get right with God. Amen. That's a fact. Don't look at me like that. You know I'm telling you the truth.
Amen, bro.
Young Catholic soldier lay wounded back in the invasion of France. And when the chaplain came to him, he happened to be of another religion. And this young man said, "Well, I don't want you." He said, "You don't believe in our mother." And the chaplain had some wisdom. He said, "Sir, I respect Mary as the mother of Jesus, but you look to me like you need a doctor." And the young man said, "Yes, I need a doctor." And the soldier said, "Well, do you want," or the chaplain said, "Do you want me to call the doctor, or do you want me to call the doctor's mother?" And I declare to you tonight, Mary can't crush a grape where she's at. And I don't mean any disrespect to Mary. She's a good woman, but you don't find anybody in the Bible praying to Mary or asking her for any kind of advice about anything. She was a good woman that God used, and that's the end of that. Brother, there is one mediator, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come to him tonight, whatever your need, he'll meet it. I promise you he'll meet it. May not be the way you think. If you need salvation, he'll save you. I'm not going to promise you if you're sick he's going to heal you. I ain't going to promise that. I don't know what God may be doing. You know, there's a lot of reasons why folks are sick. Sin's one of them. But the Apostle Paul was sick every day of his life, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient. I won't heal you." And he never healed him. It ain't God's will for everybody to get healed. Now, maybe for you, I hope it is. But I know this, whatever help you need, it's available in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow your heads? Now, I appreciate you putting up with me tonight. I'm going to have just a brief invitation. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, I'm going to ask you to stand, and then if you need to come to the altar tonight, you come. I don't know what the Lord may have said to you. He may have not said anything. If you need to come, though, come. You do business with God. If you need help, we'll be glad to help you any way we can. Father, thank you again for this time. Lord, I pray you'll look beyond my foolishness, and you'll take the Word of God and convince of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Lord, should there be one lost, I pray you'll convict them. Lord, you'll show them today's the day of salvation. They need to settle this matter now, Lord, with you before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I don't know the hearts, but you do. I pray tonight you'll meet whatever need is there. According to thy will, God, I pray you'll move. And I pray the Holy Spirit will just move up and down these aisles. Speak to hearts. Lord, comfort where it's needed. Strengthen where it's needed. Lord, uplift whatever's needed tonight. God, I pray you'll meet that need. Thank you now again for Jesus Christ who died and rose again and we could have life. Lord, we love you. Lord, as always, I pray if there's any way you can work it out, you'll come today. We long to see you face to face. Lord, have your way now. Whatever you do, we'll praise you. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?